Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is Mike the Birdman Dodd here, and I'm here to tell you about a great online store that I use for all my clothing needs. That's BigAndTallMart.com. Fantastic selection of big and tall sizes for all occasions and all budgets. BigAndTallMart.com is a store that I trust to put me in the most comfortable and stylish clothes for all my outings. From casual and workwear to all kinds of formal wear for all occasions, this store has it all. BigAndTallMart also carries a large selection of printed novelty tees, and trust me when I say they have a very large selection. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to get 10% off orders of $50 or more. Visit BigAndTallMart.com for a great shopping experience for all your big and tall clothing needs. Greetings, my fellow Starfleet officers. You are listening to Future Imperfect, brought to you by ThisWeekInGeek.net and SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club. But I'm not alone in this trek across the stars. I'm joined by my second in command,
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And of course, I love having this guy on the show. From That Sci-Fi Guy, we bring the infamous, the awesome
That Sci-Fi Guy.
Yay! It feels like it's been so long since all three of us have been on a show. It feels good to be back.
Yes, it does.
As you guys know, it's been a little while since we've had a chance to do the show, but we are gonna... We got three shows planned for the next over the next couple of weeks. The idea is to run them every 2 or every 3 weeks, so obviously keep it locked into ThisWeekInGeek.net. Today's topic is more of a roundtable discussion, so as such, we will not have a Elcars this week, nor a Replicator, but I will have reviews coming up for Star Trek Enterprise Season 2 on Blu-ray, and The Captain's Close-Up and Personal, also available on DVD. So, I guess before we go any further, let's introduce today's topic. I got this idea from, I think it was from Twitter, and I'm not precisely sure what someone said, but it just kind of triggered this line of thinking, that what are the best and what are the worst pilots for the Star Trek series? Because the pilot episode should grab you, get you hooked in, try and get you interested immediately. And I think some pilots have aged better than others, and some of them suck and some of them don't. So I guess with that in mind, let's start with what are the worst of the pilots so far? Then we'll get to the best.
The original series kind of had like a mess in terms of pilots.
I'm sorry, Leo, go ahead.
Well, I mean, just because, you know, there was the original pilot with Pike, but if I'm not mistaken, that was kind of, like, turned down by the studio, and they had to go back and sort of retool some things. So whether you count that pilot or the other pilot, but we can talk about both.
You see, the original series pilots, when I watched them, I could not get into them, and I tried. And I feel like a bad Trek fan because I don't like the original series. I really don't. But I like the original series movies.
There's some, you know, the original series is, you know, it's all hit or miss. But, you know, I like it. There's definitely a lot of good ones in there.
I kind of agree. The pilots are kind of a mess only for the fact that you have two of them. And one of them happens to get double airings during the show. Right. One in the beginning, one in the middle, and it's kind of interesting to see the original take of what it was going to be and then what it actually turned out to be. And I have to agree with you, Mike, that I enjoy the films much more than the original series, but I also have to agree with Leo that there are really good episodes in there, but it's few and far between, honestly, because a lot of it's got a a lot of the 60s cheese to it, so.
Yeah, there's just, it, I think what I don't like about it is the pilot, it feels like a relic from that time. And the other pilots I find are not so much, I mean, you can tell it was made during the 80s or whatever, that's fine. But there's something about the original pilots that I just, I cannot get over. I mean, I do like the characters in it, though, but I can't get into the universe, if that makes any kind of sense.
I was honestly, you know, with the Where No Man Has Gone Before, you know, the second pilot, if you will, I was kind of hoping that that's where they were going to go with Star Trek Into Darkness, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree.
Now, do you think the pilot is what sucked people into Star Trek, or do you think it was after 4 to 5 episodes they started getting more interesting and that's when people kind of caught on? Actually, does anybody have the ratings for this episode, perhaps? That'd be remarkably curious to see if a lot of people tuned in or didn't at this particular time. But, like I said, I feel terrible calling it a bad pilot. But just once again, just couldn't get into it for whatever reason. You're going to laugh when you hear what I think one of the best pilots is, because it's convoluted as fuck.
I don't know. What do you think is the best?
I think the best. I really like Voyager.
You know, I just rewatched a lot of the pilots recently for this podcast, and I have to say that as a pilot, not judging it on anything else or anything that came after it or anything like that, Voyager is a really good, strong pilot. It's too bad it kind of petered off immediately after that, and it gained some momentum again later. But like I said, judging on just the pilot, Voyager pilot's really solid. There's the stakes are high. You know, there it's really, you know, it's really interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like,
yeah, I mean, one of the strengths of the Voyager pilot, I think, is they made the stakes real. Like, pretty much right out of the gate, we are 70,000 light years from home. A good chunk of our essential staff is dead, and we've got these Maquis people on board. I really like that. Although I do agree with you, the series is a lot of up and down along the way, but it's still my favorite Star Trek series. Well, we'll probably talk about this probably next year about the strengths and weaknesses of Voyager. So, okay, what should we say is the next worst pilot? Because I think Enterprise actually wasn't bad.
No, I think Enterprise wasn't bad. It kind of brought you right in. I mean, God, and then honestly, most of the pilots really aren't that bad. I mean, the next gen pilot, I don't know, it was a little slow.
Yeah, that'd be my one complaint about TNG. Is the pilot, is it was slow. Although it's weird, though. My opinion of it has changed over the years. When I first saw it, I didn't like it. I saw it again in theaters last year. Loved it.
Well, I think it also had to do with the fact that as the production went along with TNG, it got a lot better and the colors got more crisp and the detail got more crisp, whereas in that original pilot, it still kind of had that aged feel of the original series, whereas the later shows... Yeah. Had modern production styles to them.
I'm just on, like, you know, because we're trying to, you know, say which one's the worst. I'm just trying to, like, nitpick. Like, that's, you know, like, you know, it was an enjoyable episode, you know, Encounter at Farpoint, but, like, it was a little slow.
Now, what would you say is slower, that one or Emissary from DS9? Because that's another one I found kind of slow, too.
Yeah, and it's definitely a little weird and slow. So, I mean, I guess those two would kind of be towards the bottom, and Voyager and Enterprise would be towards the top, yeah.
Okay, all
which
right.
is I would kind of weird.
Well, I would say that part of the reason why TNG may feel that way is because Roddenberry was still heavily involved, whereas the later three series did not have him involved whatsoever because, obviously, he'd passed on.
Yeah.
So I could see how it's kind of that way. The only nods I can say to the TNG one would be the fact that it introduced Q, it put mankind on trial and kind of made them accountable for all their actions, and it had a passing of the torch with Dr. McCoy.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the casts for each of the pilots, maybe that's something we could take a look at, too. Which one had the best cast to start and the best on-screen chemistry to draw you in? And I think TNG wins this one hands down. Their crew felt very coherent right from the start.
Well, there was also a background between all of them. Most of them had known each other ahead of time, other than, like, Riker had known, like, Dr. Crusher, but didn't know Picard, but Picard knew Crusher. So, I mean, it was kind of like a round circle of trust that was going around, that everybody somewhat knew each other or had heard of each other through somebody they knew. So it was a little bit more cohesive, whereas you get into whether it be Enterprise, DS9, or Voyager, they're working with groups of people they'd never worked with before. So it's very strained relationships.
I'm going to have to... I mean, judging on just the casts at the beginning of the series, because, you know, that's the thing, is that, you know, as the show goes on, the characters evolve. Some people go, some people don't, you know. So, but as far as, like, just, the, you know, this group of people that you're watching right out the gate to draw you in, it's definitely Next Gen and the original series, I think. Because, I mean, that's a lot of what the original series brought in general was, you know, good characters and stories. And they were kind of an interesting group for the time. And definitely the Next Gen crew, you know, they're very, you know, like you said, kind of, you know, group of people that have worked together and, like, have sort of charm and character. And
I think one crew that I mean, despite the fact they were all pretty much strangers, as this was the maiden voyage, I think Voyager's crew seemed very familiar and very warming at the start of its pilot too, mostly with the Starfleet members, not so much the Maquis people, but definitely felt a warmth from Garrett Wong as Harry Kim, definitely Captain Janeway, who's Kate Mulgrew, really liked her performance in the episode. However, though, one of the performances I didn't much care for in one of the pilots is going to DS9 and Emissary. What's the name of the guy who plays Sisko?
Avery Brooks.
He felt very wooden to me in that one. And I don't think he got comfortable until late season one in that role.
I don't know. He may have just sort of been on defense. I mean, he was kind of wooden, but, like, you got to think he was put into a situation that he didn't, like, his character didn't want to be there. Like, he was immediately put face-to-face with the person that he hates most.
Which is Picard.
So, yeah, like, you know, due to reasons. And, you know, so, I mean, yeah, I could see him, like, towards the end of the episode when he does be like, oh, I do want to be here, he does actually warm up, but I can honestly understand his woodenness due to the scenario.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Well, and one of the interesting things is, too, is you could also kind of argue that TNG is better in the sense that, yeah, it had one kind of passing of the torch of McCoy, but even if you omitted it, it still stands on its own. Whereas DS9 and Voyager piggybacked off the previous series.
Yeah, DS9 definitely piggybacked. As far as its, you know, it was tied into the Wolf 359, you know, from Best of Both Worlds and, you know, all this kind of information. So, I mean, as far as standing on its own, yeah, I would definitely say Voyager a little bit more can stand on its own, I think, than DS9.
Yeah, but definitely.
Now, as we move on through this discussion, where do you think, in terms, if you had to remember one pilot, if you could only preserve one of them, which one would it be and why?
That's an entirely different question. It would have to be the original series. I mean, just for, you know, historical purposes. I would, you know,
Which one would you choose out of the two, the cage or the Where No Man Has Gone Before?
Probably Where No Man Has Gone Before. I don't know. That's really tough. Can I cheat and say The Menagerie?
For myself, I would probably have to go with TNG. Once again, because of historical, but because I think it had a more interesting cast. And honestly, a big reason I would choose it is because of Q, John Delancey. Because Star Trek never had a villain like that, really.
No, that's definitely a good, you know, would be my second choice.
Now, which one would you destroy? Wipe from existence? Wipe from the memories of mankind?
The animated series.
Oh my god, I completely forgot about that.
I wasn't even going to bring that one up. To me, that one doesn't even count.
I was just using that as a cheat again. No, honestly, I like the animated series. It's actually, you know, the animation's really bad, but the stories are really good.
And
the
acting is good. It's got
some fun moments in it. You know, they got all the original actors, and, you know,
we need people to update that animation.
Yeah, no, somebody make that a fan project.
Just move the audio track.
That's exactly what I want to see. I want to see the audio tracks from those episodes reanimated. Somebody make that their pet project.
That would be awesome, man. You probably couldn't Kickstarter it, or could you? As long as you didn't sell it.
I don't know.
I don't know if you could kickstart it, but you could take donations.
Yeah, because I know, because we've talked with a number of Star Trek Kickstarters on here with Renegades and Star Trek Continues. That's fascinating. Somebody take Leo's idea and do this. Because that would be fucking awesome. Man, I'm just sitting here just imagining the possibilities. Because I can't wait to see what they would do with the giant Spock episode.
I mean, there's like I said, there's a lot of really, like, the material's good. It's just the animation's really bad.
And I think that's what kills the series the most, is the animation.
Although some of it is hilarious, though. But obviously you want to take Star Trek semi-serious as opposed to busting a gut laughing.
but we're getting off topic there.
Yeah, but for me, I don't really know which one I would... I mean, I would probably kill that one, too, but... It's difficult for me to decide which one to preserve because I'm a huge fan of the original series cast, but not so much a lot of the series itself. Whereas TNG, I can honestly say I love most of the series and the cast itself. So I think I'd have to give it to TNG.
So that's the one you're going to kill?
No, that's the one I'm going to preserve.
Okay.
The kill... I would say Voyager just because I did not like the caretaker thing. Once it got past the DN and then the trapped beyond everything and then having to work together and everything, I hated the caretaker role of that whole episode.
Mm.
I didn't so much mind the caretaker. I just wish they did more with it. Because I felt it was a little weak. It could have been more, but I don't think they quite knew what to do to set it up as like a long-term... even season arc, because once they destroy the array, they're like, oh, fuck, guys, we're kind of stuck here.
Yeah.
Although they did meet a female caretaker at some point in the first season, I think. Or maybe it was second season. But I know they detected something with caretaker energy signatures or something.
Hmm.
I need to rewatch this series again.
It's been a little while since I watched the earlier seasons of that. Watched it all, but... Yeah, over the course of time, I watched a lot more of it recently.
My wife has forbid me from watching the show in the house because she's like, da 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 da. She just gets mad, and now she's yelling at me because I'm doing the Voyager theme. I will play that when you're sleeping. You watch. for me, I feel terrible saying this, but I would probably get rid of DS9s. Because I think they could have done more with that, personally. But then again, DS9 for me doesn't really catch on till the end of the first season. Then I really liked it.
I mean, they all take a season or two to kind of gel.
Which is weird, though.
They had to become cohesive and they had to evolve, whereas that first season, they still don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that almost brings up something entirely. Looking at these shows, we all just said it takes a season or two for things to get rolling. in television time, that's an eternity. That's a shit ton of money you're pouring down a hole, hoping it gets better. Do you think this is unique to maybe Star Trek? Because some shows have a fantastic season one after another, but Star Trek, it seems to take a while for everything to get moving.
I would kind of say that, I would say Star Trek needs that second season in order to kind of do something interesting with it. I mean, if you look at season two of the original series, you get like a Mock Time, you get Mirror Mirror, The Deadly Years, The Trouble with Tribbles. I mean, there's a ton of good episodes in that second season. Whereas, you know, the first season, some of them are good, but it's like they still don't know where they're going. And then you go TNG, you know, Elementary, Dear Data, and Schizoid Man, and, you know, Matter of Honor. You know, all different, you get a couple Q ones. I mean, you get a bunch of different good episodes every season, but I find that once they hit their second season of the shows, that's when stuff actually starts getting moving.
With the original series as an exception, because it only ran three seasons, I thought that kind of Next Gen, Voyager, and DS9, and Enterprise really started to hit stride around season three.
I would agree, too, because I think especially TNG really gets good around season 3-4, because you get Best of Both Worlds, Yesterday's Enterprise. Borg comes in season 4, doesn't it?
Or season 5, I believe.
I really think Star Trek is, or maybe it's serialized science fiction, because the same thing could be said for The X-Files, for example. There were good episodes in the first two seasons, but after three, it starts to get really good.
Yeah.
What about now? I've only gotten part of the way through Babylon 5. Does it have a strong first season, for example?
Nah. According to most people, as far as giving advice for watching that show, a lot of them will say watch the pilot, skip the first season, and then just go straight to season 2.
Wow.
Others would disagree with you, but I've known several people whose advice has been watch the pilot, skip the first season, watch season 2.
Oh, wow. So, I kind of wonder if serialized science fiction is just one of those things where it takes a while to get rolling because you have to establish universe. It's not so much... Because you have to build universe and you have to build characters at the same time. Whereas if you set something in, quote-unquote, the real world, you can focus more on characters as opposed to establishing the fictional setting for it.
I'm sure that that's a contributing factor.
Yeah, because I look at shows like, say, Breaking Bad. That had a fantastic, if short, first season. It hooked you in immediately.
But well, and that's what they are starting to do sometimes with those shows. You know, like Star Trek, you know, it's for... And it's even with, you know, its first seasons were like full 20-some-odd episode, you know, things. As where something, you know, a lot of these shows now get like a 6 or a 13... And they kind of like, okay, do we want to still throw money at this? You know, and they might extend the first season, or they might just say, okay, well, that's your first season, and your second season, you'll get twice as many. Like, The Walking Dead, I think, had like 6 episodes, and then its second season was like 13. And
that's a show that, once again, took to its third season to get good, although, in relation, that was after 18 episodes. So not really a full, real television series, or season, quote-unquote, the standard being 22 to 24, depending. And I kind of wonder if that's maybe a trend in television where they're going to go towards the short season model, because it does cost less in the end, and they can measure whether they want a series to continue or not.
I've definitely seen it a good bit lately. Sarah Connor Chronicles also had one of those kind of short first seasons.
But wasn't that shortened due to the writer's strike?
It might have been. It was right around then.
That's a show I wish had actually finished. And it's funny, the guy who wrote the show and created it says he'll never tell people how it was supposed to end.
Yeah.
I want to get this guy really drunk and make him tell me. I really want to know.
Hopefully he's holding out hope that he gets to tell his story one day. And that's his... maybe it's he's being superstitious. He thinks if he tells anyone, then
you know,
he'll definitely never get to make it. So
I think it'd be really cool if Netflix were to pick this up. And actually, maybe that's an idea. Follow me, my friends, if you will. Do you think Star Trek would be more successful on network television right now, cable being AMC, HBO, Showtime, etc., or Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu?
Like with their model of just dumping the whole season at once?
Yeah.
See, that might be expensive with a show like that.
I don't see them ever doing that. Only because shows like, you know, like The Orange is the New Black, that's a cheap show relatively shoot compared to Star Trek and to dump it on there. Whereas, and also not to mention the fact that Paramount and CBS would never let the reins go, so it would have to be on a CBS station.
Right.
But do you think it might be more successful because you get immediate metrics from this because Netflix can see how many people are watching anything at any given time. They can even provide this data in real time.
But the problem I see is that people would either A, blitz through it or just go right past it, whereas there would be not really a lot of... I would see people forgetting about it sooner rather than later, whereas if it's actually airing week to week, yeah, it's a kind of a pain in the butt, but they keep you enticed to watch more of it throughout the year so you don't actually forget about it for the next season to air. Whereas if you watch them all on one load and they dump them in, like, say, January, you have a whole year before another season.
I mean, they would have to do it differently, but, I mean, I agree. That's, I think, would probably work better with the standard television model for that particular. But, I don't know, I'm sure that they could do something to make it work with the other model. I just don't think that it would be as strong necessarily.
Because I'm really curious what's going to come out of some of these web series that we've talked about with Star Trek Renegades wrapping up filming, I think, today or tomorrow as of this record being Wednesday, October 16th. And Star Trek Continues, I think... Yeah, they've got their first episode out. They're trying to do their second one now. I don't know. I mean, I would like to see a new pilot come out for a new series. I think Into Darkness did pretty well at theaters, didn't it?
Yeah, it did well.
I mean, not necessarily.
It did well to begin with.
Yeah.
It didn't do as well, I don't think, as the first film.
Do you think... Now, I know we've talked about this before. Pretty much over a year ago. Is the world ready for a new Trek TV series, or do we need to keep building it, kind of like how Marvel's doing it, building the universe and then creating a TV series around that?
I would love to see Star Trek back on television, but
I think it would have to go cable. I really do. I can't see CBS or NBC or any of these big networks picking it up. It does not gel with the rest of their lineups. I mean, even S.H.I.E.L.D., as fantastic as it might be, it's still fairly grounded. I think the closest thing to sci-fi, real sci-fi, is Almost Human and The Tomorrow People. And Almost Human doesn't premiere for another month, and it looks like futuristic RoboCop.
Well, cool. the thing I see, yeah, I kind of agree that it should go to like a cable station, just for the fact that it would be bigger budget and kind of less of reality TV or comedies or cop shows competing with it, which, let's face it, that's what the crap that everybody watches now. I mean, I could see it doing well on possibly AMC, but AMC does a lot more of the serious dramas, whereas Trek is more sci-fi drama type thing. So yeah, I think that it wouldn't mesh there either. But again, I don't see CBS letting up the reins. And if they were, I think they'd be stingy and want to hold it on their own station or Paramount or CBS, something that they own, rather than let somebody else have the reins on it.
Well, I want to say that there was a service I think Warner Brothers was trying to launch for just their own catalog, very much like Netflix. But I don't know if it ever launched or not. And now the catalog is big enough for Paramount CBS to do their own stuff. I just don't know if it would pull in as many subscribers as, say, a Netflix. Because a lot of people love the fact that Netflix is on there. It's consistently big. So that's why I'm wondering why a Netflix might work. Because people will go back and blitz through shit. And I wonder if that might be a good thing. As long as you insert advertising into it somehow. I mean, I haven't seen...
Which is kind of hard to do in a Star Trek-type setting. Well, to work in that product placement.
If you have it... If you put it just at the beginning of the episode, this episode of Star Trek brought to you by Doritos or something. Give them 15 seconds, do a little clever commercial with transporting Doritos in like a transporter room or something, and the Romulans want them or whatever. That could work. And you find a company who has familiarity with it, or you sell different products. I know there's like a Star Trek in the Darkness watch or something I think I saw as a piece of merch this year. So there is enough merchandise, and licensing could actually do it. But once again, we don't know. And I guess we're kind of straying away from topic here, but I think it's an interesting concept when we think about pilots and Star Trek, because there have been some good, there have been some bad. So we're nearing about the half hour mark, and I wonder if we've taken this discussion as far as it could go. So I guess, guys, let's go around. What's your favorite pilot and why? We'll start with Steve.
Okay. I almost knew that was coming, but I would say TNG. More so for the fact that you get a new Enterprise with new gadgetry introduced, like the holodeck, the battle bridge with the separating saucer, the introduction of Q, who remains to be a pain in the rear for TNG, DS9, and Voyager. Because of this, you get a pretty diverse cast. You get a lot of humans, you get a Betazoid, you get a Klingon, and you get a android, and a blind guy that has special technology that allows him to see. So, I mean, it's a lot of diversity in the cast. But you also have a lot of, it's a lot of diplomatic and political, and even like human rights type stuff that kind of starts getting brought up, even with subtle hints in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not there, and then it also calls back to the original series with one character. So there's a lot kind of meshed in there, even if it's subtly, but it kind of leads into later on.
And then Leo, what about yourself?
You know, like I said earlier, based on just the pilot, you know, not judging anything else, I gotta go with Voyager. I really enjoyed it. Rewatching all of them recently, like I said, the stakes were high. You know, they were just killing off characters left and right. Literally any one of those characters could have gone at any time. You know, the premise was exciting, you know, and it had a lot of, like, seemed like a lot of motivation and direction and stuff. So, yeah, I would have to go with the Voyager.
For me, I'm going to have to agree with Leo. Once again, I just it's the pilot that felt the most well-paced. However, Enterprise is leading up there, too, because it was no slouch. It felt exciting.
Honestly, I might have gone... closer towards Enterprise, just based on memory, if I had not rewatched. Like I said, I just rewatched the Voyager pilot, and I was like, wow, you know, that's... It was exciting. It was really good. I mean, not just exciting, but like I said, the premise was neat. You know, it was just... Yeah, it was well done. Well done, pilot.
All right, guys, and what about the worst? Which one do you like the least?
I guess I'll go back. Going first again. For me, it's kind of a toss-up between DS9 and Voyager. Voyager, like, again, I really didn't care for some of the premise, and I didn't care for the whole caretaker thing. I think that the original, how it kind of, when they were intercepting the McKee and go through that specific wormhole, and then that whole dilemma of losing half your crew and being stranded 70,000 light years. That was a, I just didn't find the rest of it interesting. But at the same time, DS9 is heavily based off of a particular episode of TNG, and then it was a lot of just kind of, it was almost too big to kind of figure out what the heck was going on in that episode. So, I mean, for me, it's kind of a toss-up between the two.
And then, Leo, what's your least favorite?
You know, as big of a, I mean, you know, DS9 is my favorite series, but it definitely did, I think, have a weaker pilot. But I might honestly have to go with the original series on this, just in terms of pilot, because, I mean, the show was starting out. They, I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, building off of the back of established Star Trek canon and establishing that show. This show was literally paving the way, and they really didn't even know what they were doing. You know, the cage is interesting, but it definitely there had a lot of things to work out still. And where no man has gone before, you know, it wasn't all that strong if you count that one. So yeah, just in terms of pilots, probably the original series.
For me, I'm going to go with DS9 on this one, simply because I was bored to hell for a lot of it. While there were some cool setups and cool nods, especially to the Battle of Wolf 359, I found a lot of characters I just didn't like. I didn't like Kira, I liked Odo, and everybody else was... It took me a while to warm up to them. And that's where I think that lies. So guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of Future Imperfect. We're going to be back on October 30th, on Devil's Night, to talk about the best and worst series finales, to kind of bring this discussion full circle. So anyway, guys, I really hope you've enjoyed the show. Once again, be sure to leave us feedback. I would love to hear your guys' opinions. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net, subject line Future Imperfect, or we have a voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Big thanks to our sponsors of SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and people like offworlddesigns.com, where you can get awesome t-shirts 10% off by using promo code BROHOOF. So guys, for Future Imperfect, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And that sci-fi guy, Leo Thompson.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live long and prosper.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.